As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is arising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Thursday, April the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We've got a storm brewing overhead here in southwest Missouri. You might be able to hear some of the rain pelting down on the skylights above my radio table. But we're coming at you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Got a little website you might want to visit, vocallocal.org. That's www.vocallocal.org, and also ozarksvoter.info. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts of sorts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become a vocal local. So much happening in the news the last couple of days, a lot of troubling stuff going down. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room. You can also pick up the telephone and call in for those with unlimited long distance, or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air, or select option 2 and take Oracle with you on your mobile. And from around America and around the world, you may call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. I could give a big shout-out to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro AM, Micro 1650 AM in Buffalo, and 94.3 in Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, those websites are www.vocallocal.org, www.ozarksvoter.info, and the listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold dips below $880 in early morning trading, while the stocks have been rallying higher. We'll go into that almost immediately. Go back and visit once again Mesopotamia. What a mess. We're trying to get down to the very basics and the bottoms of what is anarchy. Trace it up the anarchism ladder through the various and sundry different civilizations of man. All the way up, we're going to pick up the Hochschule for Politik, hopefully today, later in the broadcast. Perhaps in the second hour, we'll visit with that. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Those market reports for Thursday, April the 30th, 2009, active trading New York City time as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago. Gold was off $16.50, trading at $881.80 an ounce. Silver was off 43 cents, trading at $12.37 an ounce. Platinum didn't fare any better. In fact, palladium didn't fare any better either, but platinum was down $6, trading at $1,089. Keep an eye on that price as it goes down. You might remember the article I read about Mother Russia thinking about coining platinum coins, minting platinum coins. There may be a move to get that price down in a range where a large purchase could be made. So keep your eyes on platinum. Palladium, again, off $3, down at $216 a troy ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up yesterday, 168.78 basis, or 78 points, trading at 8,185. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned again right here on Become Vocal Local. Yes, indeed, Thursday, April the 30th, 2009, as we begin our first hour in our two-hour daily broadcast of Become Vocal Local. My name is William Roberts, and again, I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you in the first segment. We were looking at the market reports. We see that the metals are all down today. Gold closed, or the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ closed up yesterday. We got down to that point in the report. The USDX was off 12 basis points, trading below 85 at 84.45. Crude oil was up 44 cents, trading at 51.41, solidly above the $50 mark now. The lows and the highs in the spot market, 879.90 for a low, so it's going under $880 bucks there, just in that $20 margin between there and 1,000. So the high was $901, so we've got $5.80 basically gain so far, $5.80 year to year, or up 0.66%, less than 1% gain year to year. And it's interesting because we seem to be tracking this year to year repetition. These same kind of charts, the same kind of motions were happening 1 year ago. We're within $5 of where it was. A lot of the gold bugs were talking about going over 1,000 and perhaps much higher this year. Will that happen? I don't know. But one of the things that we're definitely going to want to look for and pay attention to is the rise of inflation here once all of these trillions of dollars that have been pitched into circulation start to have their work their magic. we should see inflation start climbing rapidly in the last half of the year, probably signs of it happening soon in a marketplace near you. Let's go into that little basket of currency. You know, Timmy's got his little basket, and Timmy and Benny pick out the currencies that they want to put in the basket. Well, we've got four currencies in our basket this morning. The Canadian dollar trading at 84 cents. That was up just a hair, just a tiny bit today, 84 cents. The Mexican peso, boy, if you believe the news, you know, you think the Mexican peso was going to the toilet. Yeah, it's down a little bit, but it's still trading at 7 cents. So fill up your pockets with pesos, 7 cents a piece while you can find them. I'm sure there's plenty around. The euro trading $1.32. The British pound still strong, up a little bit more today, $1.48. So there's your basket of currencies. Go out into the marketplace and exchange and trade to your heart's content. I tend to vote with my checkbook, and my checkbook right now has got a rubber band around it a couple of times. I'll be very slow in buying anything at this particular time. Let's go over to Mumbai again. Mumbai, we've been following the Asian market, if you will, India and Dubai as the gold season comes in. They just have this Akshaya Tritiya festival. It's that auspicious day of the year to buy gold. I don't know what it, how it works into their calendar and how it works into their religious belief, but anyway, Akshaya Tritiya, an auspicious day according to the Hindu calendar for buying long-term assets like gold and silver, including ornaments made of the same, diamonds and other precious stones. Although this morning I found the De Beers article that I didn't want to go through the whole thing, but De Beers diamond sales is way off so far this year. And then, of course, other precious stones Indians like to buy. And they also look at real estate. So Akshaya Tritiya, an auspicious day for buying all of these things. Let's see what happened. Displaying confidence in the yellow metal, consumers invested around so many, blah, blah, blah. You won't know it. I wouldn't know it either. A whole gob and a bunch of rupees in gold worth last Monday. And this is a very cryptic little article, very short, but it's got what we need to know about it written in it. They invested so many rupees in gold last Monday. Last year, when Akshaya Tritiya was celebrated for 2 days, May the 7th and to the 8th, gold sales stood at around blah, 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 showing an increase of 14%. This was despite the high gold price of blah, 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 14,700 rupees per 10 grams, compared to 11,800 rupees per 10 grams last year. So we can see that there's a increase and a pretty good increase in the grams, the cost per grams. However, the article says the total volume of sales stood at 45 tons this year as against last year's 45.9 tons. So they spent more money, bought almost a ton less gold, and this is supposed to be a good report. Doesn't look like a good report to me. It looks like, and it reflects the inflation in the rupee. But let's go and close this little article out. Here's the quote. The sales have been very positive, and in value terms, the growth has been impressive despite the 25% higher prices this year. Moreover, large and established players selling Hallmark jewelry have performed better than the rest of the market. So, again, we can see how this translates worldwide or globally. Even the small jewelry markets in India are impacted by this stuff, and the big guys, the Hallmarks, are making out like bandits, I guess. I'm not going to go into this in great detail. I certainly could. I've got tons of material in front of me, but it's pretty well handled yesterday. If you listen to Rob Chowda's broadcast with Doug Owen and Lee Rogers, you know, last evening, you got about all of the hate bill information that you need to have. But if you missed those broadcasts, I'll just simply tell you that the hate bill passed out of the House of Representatives. Here's the article. This is off of Ted Pike's website, the National Prayer Network. So it's going to be definitely Christian right-leaning information. But here it is. Hate bill passed in House by Reverend Ted Pike. Despite compelling and compassionate testimony by House Republicans, the federal hate crimes bill, H.R. 1913, passed today in the House of Representatives by a vote of 249 to 175. Now, we heard all about that yesterday. This is just a couple of highlights here. Representative Roy Blunt of Missouri echoed Fox's admonitions that hate laws have always taken away free speech in Canada and Europe. So at least he said something worthwhile and cast his vote in the right direction for once. Representative Steve King of Iowa repeated the warning of his amendment in the judiciary last week, saying pedophiles and many other deviants will obtain special rights and protections under the H.R. 1913. Representative Mary Fallon, the Republican from Oklahoma, referenced loss of speech in Canada and Great Britain, but also saw how the Philly 11 Christians were persecuted under Pennsylvania's hate laws. Representative Fox returned saying a federal hate law would preempt the 10th Amendment, which delegates most of law enforcement to the states. So there's an echo right there of these various and sundry 10th Amendment issues that are going on, the resolutions that are being advanced everywhere. She said the claim that Matt Shepard was murdered because he was a homosexual was a hoax. He was killed, she said, as the victim of a robbery. And it continues and it continues. All right, so that's under the belt. That's done. Now, the next stage in this is that it's going to go into the Senate. So now this is where we can actually still do something. This, again, is off Reverend Ted Pike's website. And it goes this way. Kennedy introduces the Senate hate bill. On Tuesday, April the 28th, Senator Edward Kennedy introduced his Senate version of the federal hate crimes bill, S-909. We'll pick it up on the other side and close out this discussion of the hate crimes. Stay with us.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. And before I go back into this Kennedy Senate hate bill, I'll just comment on some information coming through the chat room. Real good talk and real good chat. If you're not there, folks, it's easy to do. You can just go to the homepage of oraclebroadcasting.com. Look on the left, find the chat room, and click on that. Go down, set yourself a name, pick a name, use a fictitious name, or come in anonymously and enter the chat. But you'll see a lot of information gets dropped in there throughout the broadcast. I don't have an exotic website, so there's not places that you can go to get the news that I present on a regular basis here in this first portion of the broadcast. So that's a place to go. But we're still dealing with this, this hog flu, I guess, whatever it is. It's a man-made thing, and it's, you know, what all of this basically is, in my opinion, is a test. And there, it's just like, in my opinion, like Katrina, they're testing systems. For any of you who have followed any of the talks that I've given, and if you haven't, you can go up on the web, my little website, www.vocallocal.org, and there are links there. You can also go over to ozarksvoter.info. I'm one of those two sites. I've got my international migration and development agenda talk outlined in there. You can follow through that. Also look at the FEMA's hazard mitigation work that I've done. On those two websites, you might also be able to find something posted on freedomadvocates.org. I'm not much of a webber, and I'm not much of a blogger, but there's lots of material out there. Nevertheless, all that aside, this whole idea of FEMA's hazard mitigation, all hazard hazard mitigation planning program, has been going sea to shining sea in America for some time. And part of this process, what they're looking at are all natural and man-made hazards. And so they've been working with the local authorities in small-town America, big-city America, all across America, setting up emergency operations plans, various contingency operations plans, setting up their NIMS systems, which are the National Incident Management Systems. They've been having here locally, I've seen in the newspaper several times, they have meetings where the various and sundry officials and first responders get together and they talk about and have a huggy-feely session on what they can do about quarantines and pandemics and all of this. And they've practiced shutting down and locking down schools, public schools and things like that. And so they have all their various and sundry plans in place. And so when you hear something like this, hog bird man flu contraption coming down the pike, you know that they're going to go out there and practice their stuff. They've gotten lots of grants and aid, federal, state grants and aid from the state SEMA here in Missouri, State Emergency Management Agency. They've gotten lots of grants and aid from FEMA. And whenever you put your hands out for these unearned grants and aid, then the shackles of control come on as well. I mean, we've got tornado sirens now that we haven't ever had before, and from time to time they toot and squawk and bloat and make all kinds of noise, you know, and for all that it could be worth, if there was an actual tornado on top of us, you know, by the time the siren goes off, what are you going to do? You know, at that point you pretty well got a tornado on top of you. But anyway, long stories and short stories, much of this stuff is a drill, I think. We'll see what happens. Everybody's practicing their stuff, strutting out their little boxes, all the little emergency kits, and then of course they're buying a lot of this various and sundry vaccine products. I saw on the internet this morning while I was looking for news a little deal where you can get 10 Tamiflu capsules for $114 and change. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of a monetary machine working for you, a little cash machine working for you? 10 pills for $114. Anyway, long stories in short, you watch it, pay close attention to it. If it impacts you, let us know. If something goes down in your area, let us know. We'd be just glad to preempt the broadcast and turn the time over to you. So, again, that number is 866-841-1065. Something comes up where you are, feel free to call in. Let's go back to this other more interesting news. This hog flu will come and go if there's anything to it at all. I also saw an article on this morning's news about one of the Smithfield hog-raising confined animals systems down in Mexico, and the people are all up in arms there. But Smithfield sent its top two lieutenants. I was surprised at the use of that word. I mean, we're talking about drugs or czars. Now we're going to probably have a flu czar. And Smithfield, a hog producer, sends their top two lieutenants. What is this? What is all this militarization talk? You know, if this isn't a fascist police state in the building, then I don't know what it is. But anyway, they sent their two big dogs down there, and the two big dogs come back woofing and sniffing, and they couldn't find anything down there that looked like flu, but they took a bunch of nasal swabs, and they've sent them in for testing, so we'll see. But largely, you know, I think it would probably be safe to get a nice big slam of hickory smoked bacon and have that with your eggs for breakfast, so I think you'll be just fine. But, you know, do as you want. Going back to this article here, Kennedy introduces the Senate hate bill. Again, this is off of Ted Pike's website. Understand, folks, that legislation like this ain't going to be fixed with a little pill. You're not going to be able to wipe your nose or wipe your bottom and make this go away. Well, while we've been focused on the flu, this kind of legislation just keeps passing all the time. So here's an opportunity we can still do something. It has to come out of the House. Now it needs to go through the Senate. On Tuesday, April the 28th, that was the day before yesterday, Senator Edward Kennedy introduced his Senate version of the Federal Hate Crimes Bill, S-909. Note that down on your tablet there, S-909. As in the House, we may expect the liberal-dominated Senate judiciary. Well, you know, I could give a blast for these liberal conservative adjectives. I don't think there's anything liberal or conservative these days about anything. It's two sides of the same coin, the obverse and the reverse of the same coin. We may expect the liberal-dominated Senate judiciary to attempt to fast-forward it without hearings to a vote on the floor on the Senate. Unlike in the House, however, there exists in the Senate a very small margin of Democrat pro-hate bill advantage in numbers. Chances of defeat of the hate bill in the Senate are much greater. So it is vital now that the protest calling begins to all of the members of the Senate, especially members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So for those of you that are inclined towards doing something, here's something that you might be able to do. Sometimes a bill can come out of the House and die in the Senate. Sometimes it goes the other way. This is a place where we can actually perhaps still stop this insanity before it becomes the rule of law. Demand that the Judiciary Committee hold hate bill hearings. They didn't do 2 years ago, rushing the bill to the floor of the Senate where it passed. If hearings are held, hate bill passage will be slowed and Senate Republicans will be stimulated to mount the same vigorous protest House Republicans have shown. So here's the number you can call. It's 877-851-6437 or toll free. You can call 202-225-3121. So 877-851-6437 is the free number and 202-225-3121 is the toll charge. The names of the Senate Judiciary members are posted on the Truth Sellers website so you can get that off there. And you want to tell all of the members of the Senate, according to Reverend Ted Pike here, please don't vote for the pedophile-protecting Federal Hate Crimes Bill S-909. Insist on a judiciary hearing to debate this very dangerous, freedom-threatening legislation. And you can bet and believe and understand that this is not good legislation. There are many different ways to skin a fish, if they will, and this isn't the way to go about it. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to convert over and go back and restart in again, once again, on this idea of anarchy and anarchism. And we're going to go this time into Mesopotamia and perhaps into Persia. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting edge talk radio.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned once again, and again this word anarch is going to come into our focus here today. The idea of an anarch, again, is the prefix, and it indicates not or without. And then arch, of course, indicates a ruler or a leader. For example, a matriarch or a monarch. So anarch is not ruler, not leader. And there's a lot implied in that. And as we saw from the Bible, the scriptures text, where in the Gospels of Mark, we find that this is something that is even used in the Bible, and it's a direct pointing, if you will, to the archons, or the archis and the archons, who descended from a long line of this 17 generations of these archons ruled over Greece, Athens, I think it was. Perhaps Sparta. It's not right in the front of my mind at the moment. But anyway, there's also lots of other of these arcs that we can find when we go back in and dig around. But what all this is pointing to in the original intention and the original meaning, the concept of anarch, is not the rulership or the leadership of man, but it's pointing to these deities. And I think that's really important, and it's something that has been missed in the translation. When we go into anarchism, as against a specific form of government or against a specific form of leadership or rulership or against individuals. So it makes it kind of difficult when we get into greater understandings of what has happened, how did the religions that we have today on the planet, how did they grow, where did they come from, how did they start, and what are we looking at when we champion the idea of anarch, and how does that work into things like the higher law, the laws of nature, or nature's God, as the founders stated it. Apart from organized religion, there was a time for a long, long time when people thought that there was a natural law that, you know, basically encoded right into us. Everybody pretty well has a conscience, not some people in leadership. They seem to have no conscience, but most people that are sane, perhaps, we could say, you could infer that, have a conscience. And so most people understand that if they steal something from someone else, you get this little pang bugging you. You do these little things often enough, and you start carrying around a lot of baggage in your head. You commit some more of the heinous things, like killing someone or wantonly taking the life of an animal or something like that, and you got these pangs that bug you. And I think that this has been with men from the beginning. And this is the basis of this idea that there's something about what makes man man that sets him apart from animals or something. And it leads us into these various and higher eschatological discourses. So what I'm going to do in the next couple of days, we started with Egypt. We're going to go through out of this text on Western civilizations, largely because it's pretty good writing, and it's about as concise as I have in my references, and it brings in a lot of good places where we can go to study, and then there are also many books that are listed at the end of each of these, and many of those books I have in my library, so I know at least this author has done his due diligence to try and present this information correctly or fairly. As you can all imagine, that when we go beyond the recorded history, when we go beyond the language and written language, we come into a gray area where most everyone can agree that, you know, we really don't know anymore. Before, we had written language that was all oral tradition. We passed these thoughts from family to family and from man to man via memory. We just memorized by rote whole bunches of stuff. And so there was a lot of that in our past. But of course, when you go away from oral history into written history, then you rely upon the text. And then when you go, as soon as you start to have to rely upon the text and you don't have the memories anymore, as you could say, from time out of mind, when you don't have the memories anymore, then those texts become very important for us to pay attention to, because of all of the scrolls and of all of the documents and of all of the tablets that have been found and that have been decoded and whatnot, we've only seen a little bit. We have only seen a little bit out of what all was found in the Dead Seas area, in the Essene, from the Essenes. You know, there was an Essene quarter in Jerusalem. It was close to the temple. And if you look at the topographic map, it would be possible if there was a route carved into the great cliffs there, it would be possible to send a runner from the Essene quarter down to the Essenes headquarters, if you will, and back in a day. It's only about 20, 25 miles. A very difficult journey if they would have had to scale the walls. But if they had carved in some kind of a footpath, it could be run. Anyway, there's a lot going on all through this. And let's pick it back up where we left off yesterday. We just started into this chapter 4 out of Western Civilizations, Edward McNall Burns. And this is the Mesopotamian Civilization. And what we're going to find, what we did find in the study in the Egyptians, and what we'll continue to see in the Mesopotamians and the Persians, what we're going to find here is much of what you can find in modern religion, much of what you can find even recorded in the Bible. And so let's understand that not all of this stuff is the inspired word of God, so to speak, the inerrant, etc. A lot of this is just an accumulation, a compendium, if you will. And as much as I hate to say it, you know, you could go and just simply take a fast track in all of this and watch that Zeitgeist movie and watch it carefully. What is it, part one, part two or something? Part one that has to do with religion? During the Ron Paul meetup period, someone gave me a copy of that that DVD, and I watched it, and I was very interested in that DVD. It corroborates, at least in many respects, much of the research that I've done in the past 15 or so years. So let's go into this again. The Mesopotamian civilization, as we said yesterday, the differences in ideals and in religious and social attitudes were perhaps more fundamental. The Egyptian culture was predominantly ethical, whereas the Mesopotamian predominantly legalistic. And that's a big difference. The Egyptian outlook upon life, except during the Middle Kingdom, was generally one of cheerful resignation, comparatively free from the cruder superstitions, and by contrast, the Mesopotamians were legalist, or excuse me, the Mesopotamian view was gloomy, pessimistic, and enthralled by morbid fears. I draw that out and bring it to your attention for the specific purpose of understanding that it is these various and sundry belief systems that we build up in our minds and others build for us, and then we teach our children and then they teach their children, that have so much to do with the not only the architecture or the way people live and how they live and what they do, but also their attitude, their outlook on life. And so we can understand a lot about people by looking at the geography, of course, the topography of the area that they live in. We can also learn something about the people that came before us by looking at the things that we can find in the dirt, the pottery and all of that, the jewelry, wherever you can find it, and things like that, their artwork, their paintings, their buildings. We learn a lot about that, and we can also infer quite a bit about the leaders or the rulers by going through a study like this, and then maybe we can understand more about this idea of anarch without the ruler, without the leader. So let's continue. And again, yesterday we started out talking about the difference geographically between Egypt and the Nile and the Mesopotamian area with the Tigris and the Euphrates. Egypt and the Nile, it's a channel. It's carved in to the sandstone in there, and it's very deep. It has steep cliffs on either side. And so some places are like 10, 15 miles wide. Sometimes it's wider than that. But it's defensible, and there's a boundary. And it was a very nice place down in along there, nice and lush and green, where it got inundated annually by the river flooding, and the people live quite happily in there. Whereas out in the Mesopotamia area, in the Tigris, the Euphrates, these rivers were not carved out of some great sandstone. These are just big rivers out in the grass, if you will, and they became a fertile crescent. Well, we'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with me.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Okay, so we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. We've got one more segment in this first hour. These hours do go by quickly when you're having fun, and I'm always having fun, and every time I've got my nose in these old books, I'm just having a ball. I like rooting around in books just about as well as I like rooting around in my garden. So let's go on to this a little bit further, because if we can lay down this understanding that what people believe in, what their cultures are and their traditions and all that, they have a lot to do with their leaders and the rulers, and they are, at least at the time of this writing, instrumental in our understanding of what is this resistance. It's almost an inborn resistance to the rule of man, the rule of man, as opposed to the rule of some higher law. So let's go into it again. The Egyptian outlook again on life, except during the Middle Kingdom, was generally one of cheerful resignation, blah, blah, blah. We've gone over that. Where the native of Egypt believed in immortality and dedicated a large part of his energy to preparation for the life to come, his Mesopotamian contemporary lived in the present and regarded his fate beyond the grave with indifference. That's a big outlook shift there. If all you've got to look forward to is the life you have today, you know, then you just kind of slump along, maybe with your shoulders curved down, and just try and do the best you can. And, you know, when you die, you die. When you're born, and all that. And on the other side, if the other group, the Egyptians, were walking along thinking, wow, I'm going to live forever. Wow. You know, then they've got whole different outlooks, okay? That's what we're trying to lay out here. Finally, the civilization of the Nile Valley embodied concepts of monotheism, and certainly long before the Hebrew boys got on that thread. It was a religion of love and social equalitarianism. That of the Tigris and Euphrates was more selfish and cynical. Its religion seldom ever evolved beyond the stage of primitive polytheism, and its ideal of justice was largely confined to literal observance of the terms of a contract. And when we go back, well, I won't spoil it, we'll get there. So the pioneers in the development of the Mesopotamian civilization were a people known as the Sumerians. Much has been taught about that, even on this network. who settled in the lower Tigris-Euphrates Valley between 5,000 and 4,000 BC. Their precise origin is unknown, but they seem to have come from the plateaus of Central Asia. They spoke a language unrelated to any now known, although their culture bore a certain resemblance to the earliest civilization of India. With little or no difficulty, they subjugated the natives already in the lower valley, a mysterious people who were just emerging from the Neolithic stage. So we have the Sumerians, but we also have other peoples before them in the same place. And a mysterious people. We know little about them, be another way of saying it. About 2400 BC, the Sumerians were conquered by Sargon I, the ruler of a nation of Semites who had established themselves in a section of the valley known as Akkad. This was the prelude to the founding of the first great Semitic empire in Western Asia. For soon afterward, Sargon conquered the Elamites and all of northern Syria to the Mediterranean Sea. But like so many states that have had their roots in conquest, the empire was short-lived. You get a lot of little clues dropped on you to help you understand more about our own times as we go through these kind of texts. But like so many states that have had their roots in conquest, this empire was short-lived. For the last 100 years, the United States of America has lived by conquest, perhaps even from its inception, settling the land, conquering the continent, if you will. But like so many states that have lived by war and conquest, their empire is short-lived. So here we are a couple hundred years out, and we're finding ourselves in a really tough place because we have gone down this terrible road. Although these, Sargon can skip that. Finally, about 2100 BC, the Sumerians, under the leadership of the city of Ur, if you remember from your Bible, that would be Abraham's either birthplace or where he came from, the city of Ur, rebelled successfully against the ruler Gutai, and established the power over all of Sumer and Akkad. The most noted king of the new state was Dungi, D-U-N-G-I, who assumed the grandiloquent title of King of the Four Regions of the Earth and attempted to duplicate the military accomplishments of Sargon I. The new Sumerian Empire did not survive the death of Gungi, and it goes on. Although most of the Sumerian culture survived, Sumerian dominance was now at an end. The Babylonians established an autocratic state, and during the reign of their most famous king, Hammurabi, you've all heard of the Hammurabi Code. I read a little bit of that yesterday. If a son strikes his father, they shall cut off his fingers. One of the lines there, line 195. But again, the Babylonians established an autocratic state. And during the reign of the most famous king, Hammurabi extended their dominion north into Assyria. But after his time, the empire gradually declined until it was finally overthrown by the Kassites about 1750 BC. See how rapidly we're moving forward here, from 5000 BC up to 1750 BC. Not a whole lot to be said in this time period, because we're still looking for some written language. With the downfall of the old Babylonia, a period of retrogression set in, which lasted for 600 years. The Kassites were barbarians with no interest in the cultural achievements of their predecessors. Their lone contribution was the introduction of the horse into the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. The old culture would have died out entirely if it had not been for its partial adoption by another Semitic people who, as early as 3000 BC, had founded a tiny kingdom on the plateau of Assur, some 5,500 miles up the Tigris River. These people came to be called the Assyrians, and their ultimate rise to power marked the beginning of the third stage in the development of the Mesopotamian civilization. So there are their various stages as it was conquered. Now, being conquered for the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, that was very commonplace. Being conquered for Egypt was another story. And largely it was geographic. There was very little natural protection out there in the Tigris-Euphrates area. In that fertile crescent. It was also some of the very best land around, and it was highly coveted by anybody that just laid their eyes on it. Continuing here, this is about 1300 BC, they began to expand and soon afterwards made themselves masters of the whole northern valley. In the 10th century, they overturned what was left of the Kassite power in Babylonia. Their empire reached its height in the 8th and the 7th centuries under Sargon II. Sennacherib and Assurbanipal came after that. It had now come to include nearly all of the civilized world at that time. Huge, folks. One after another, Syria, Phoenicia, the Kingdom of Israel, and Egypt had fallen victims of the Assyrian military prowess, until the little kingdom of Judah was able to withstand the hosts of Nineveh, probably because of an outbreak of pestilence in the ranks of Sennacherib's army. And dropping down here, you can find that in 2 Kings 19 and 35. Here's a footnote. Hebrew prophets declared that an angel of the Lord visited the camp of the Assyrians by night and slew 185,000 of them. So they got some kind of a flu or other pestilence. And we can drop down. Sumerian origins of the civilization. Let's see. No, I better stay right with what I'm doing. The death blow was delivered by the Chaldeans, a nation of Semites who had settled southeast of the Valley of the Two Rivers. Under the leadership of Nabopolassar, who had served the Assyrian empires in the capacity of a provincial governor, they organized a revolt and finally captured Nineveh in 612 B.C. Coming right on up in here. Now we're like 2,500 to 2,700 years ago. Nabopolassar was succeeded by his son Nebuchadnezzar, who ruled until 562 B.C. During the reign of the latter, the Chaldeans rose to the mastery of a new cosmopolitan empire in the Near Orient. So we're going from the state, from the standpoint of a very primitive or Neolithic man, to now we're starting these cosmopolitan empires, large congregations of people. And with those large congregations of people, they had various and sundry different attempts at forming governments and religions. And that's why we're studying this, because we're faced with that today, looking whereas we may very well be, standing at the threshold, looking at the 21st century as we move into this entirely new world order or new world disorder, or however you want to look at it, the new world odor, if you want. Stinks like fish to me, but nevertheless, man has done this over and over and over again. And so, as I said yesterday, when we look to the future, we need to be either participant in this development somehow, some way, finding our place at the table, or we'll just have to take with whatever is handed out. And I don't like the looks of what's in the United Nations documents and in the various legislation. I don't like the looks of what's going to be handed out. That's why I think we need to get at the table, and we need to get there quickly. So we'll pick it up on the other side and continue this broadcast in the second hour. Stay right with us. We will be back shortly.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Thursday, April the 30th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. As we begin our second hour of the day, my name is William Roberts. We're talking about and continuing a study of anarchy. What is it? Where did it come from? How does it impact us? What can we learn from the past? What do we need to know about the future? And we say all the time that those that don't understand or don't know the history are doomed to repeat it. But sometimes those who always look backward, they're walking through life with their rearview mirrors on, sometimes miss the more opportune routes that were overlooked by their ancestors too. So we don't want to get locked up in a pedantic study of history without remembering that we're always moving forward into the future. And we are just as capable in our time to chart a new course forward as were our ancestors. So let's not lose track of that. But at the same time, we're trying to figure out anarchy. You know, if you were at all paying attention in the last few weeks, so we went through this Missouri Information Analysis Center's report about the modern militia movement and all that, and they threw about, bandied about a bunch of names and really ticked a lot of people off. But in that document, they also talk about anarchy and anarchism. And, of course, if you go up on the Internet and just check out, start checking around in all the various places in the blogosphere, you'll find that for some time there's been quite a long discourse building on this topic of anarchy and anarchism. And some understand it very well. Some have a very, very poor understanding of it. Some of them are looking at it as a way of getting out from underneath the jackboot of a despotic government, and some of it are looking at it from the standpoint of developing communism, collectivism, communitarianism, and all varieties and sundries. So how we go forward from here is going to be very important, and at this particular juncture in time, I don't believe we can afford to be making mistakes. We're up against an adversary that's been planning this stuff for well over 500 years that I can track, and they've got their plans fairly well laid out. So we're not going to want to be stumbling about blindly in the dark, so to speak. So let's go back into this again. We were talking about, we've gone into the Egypt in yesterday's broadcast, the day before yesterday's broadcast, into a little bit of Mesopotamia yesterday. Now we're there. Let's continue. I want to get done with this basic understanding of who we're talking about before we go into some of the more advanced things in their various religions and how all that played out. But again, the death blow was delivered by the Chaldeans, a nation of Semites, who had settled southeast of the Valley of the Two Rivers under the leadership of Nabopolassar, who had served the Assyrian emperors in the capacity of a provincial governor. Now we have, you know, key organized government set up. They organized a revolt and finally captured Nineveh in about 612 B.C. Nabopolassar was succeeded by his son Nebuchadnezzar, who ruled until 562 B.C., and during the reign of the latter of the Chaldeans, rose to mastery of a new cosmopolitan empire in the New Orient. In the Near Orient. And then that carries forward into the Near East. You know, all the time today you hear about the Middle East. Especially when you're talking about Israel, they keep using Middle East. Well, it's Near East. And all you need to do is go back just 40 years and look at your maps. Look at, you know, your National Geographic maps, if that's the best you've got, or your better Oh, my. The word just jumped right out of my brain. Wasn't thinking about it before I came on the air, so it's not there right now. So nevertheless, you go in and look at maps, and you can see that in your encyclopedia articles and study each of the countries, it's the Near East. Only lately has it become known as the Middle East. We're blurring boundaries. We're changing around. We're rewriting the face of the earth. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again here on the second hour of the Thursday, April the 30th, 2009 broadcast of Become Vocal Local, going into an understanding of the Mesopotamian civilization, going a little deeper into all of this stuff, rooting around, trying to get some ideas of this. One of the reasons for doing it, of course, is to understand that the more times change, the more things seem to remain the same. Just as we're doing, going through these various and sundry texts, so also do the master blasters, the controllers, the think tanks. They look at this stuff as well. And so often by studying past, we can start to recognize existing and projected plans. It's like I've said on this broadcast before, some of these guys work just like a small town football coach. They only know one play. They go right up the middle for 3 yards, and they do it repeatedly and predictably. And so if we can understand some of the places we've been, we might be able to recognize some of the places we're being led, and maybe we could get on the map first. That's the main goal here. Even the kingdom of Judah, which had successfully defied the Assyrian wolves, fell an easy victim to the relentless energy of Nebuchadnezzar. The temple at Jerusalem was looted and burned. King Zedekiah was blinded, and he and several thousand of his countrymen were carried off into captivity in Babylon. Now, again, as we go through these various and sundry studies, we need to know that the author is drawing from many sources, and the Bible is one of those sources. And so everything needs to be checked out really carefully and compared with other records. But our author here has been, he's done his diligence. He's got a list of reference material in the back that's rather impressive. At the back, at the end of each of these chapters, he tells you which books you can go and see more, just like hot links in an internet article. And he also shows the text that were used exclusively or drawn from in the writing of the articles. So it's pretty good scholarly work. And that's one of the reasons why I like to go back into the 1960s and the 50s and all the way back into the 1800s to pull up my material to read. Because up until that time, you know, a man's word was his bond, and it was not a cool thing to go around lying all the time. And if you made a habit of doing lousy and incredible scholarship, you might find your funding sources cut off and you would no longer have a teaching position someplace. That's not quite the same today. Today, the more artful a liar you can be in the city of speech, the higher you and quicker you will move. Sad and sorry testimony to have, but it's true, I believe, nonetheless. Dropping down a bit further here, the major reason for the downfall of the Chaldean Empire was the insatiable greed of its founders. And we see this repeating theme. It was plaguing them just as bad, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5,000 years ago as it's plaguing our leaders today. Again, I'll state that one more time. The major reason for the downfall of the Chaldean Empire was the insatiable greed of its founder. It was this lust for power and glory that led him to repeat the blunders of the Assyrian monarchs before him in conquering an unwieldy empire and in humiliating proud people. That is a dangerous combination. The handwriting on the wall, which Belshazzar is supposed to have seen at his famous feast, should have been intended for Nebuchadnezzar. In 539 BC, the empire of the Chaldeans fell after an existence of less than a century. It was overthrown by Cyrus the Persian, as he himself declared, without battle and without fighting. Without a battle and without fighting, not a shot fired, if you will. Again, I just simply draw it to your attention because these various and sundry quotes, we see those same kinds of quotes coming in modern usages. The easy victory appears to have been made possible by the assistance from the Jews and a conspiracy of the priests of Babylon to deliver the city to Cyrus as an act of vengeance against the Chaldean king. Vengeance. Conspiracies. Jews and priests in this particular instance. But we'll find many other conspiracies as we continue. Although the Persian state incorporated all of the territories that once had been embraced by the Mesopotamian empires, it included many other provinces besides. It was the vehicle, moreover, of a new and different culture. The downfall of Chaldea must therefore be taken as the marking the end of the Mesopotamian political history. So we're going through these various stages of development. We'll go back and look at the Sumerian origins of the civilization. More than to any other people, the Mesopotamian civilization owed its character to the Sumerians. Much of what used to be ascribed to the Babylonians and the Assyrians is now known. Again, this was written in the 1960s. And much earlier, this is the sixth edition, I think it is. Much of what is known about the the Babylonians and Assyrians is now known to have been developed by the nation that preceded them. The system of writing was of Sumerian origin. Likewise, the religion, the laws, and a great deal of the science and their commercial practice. That's important. Much of these systems of writings and the religions and the laws and so on and so forth carry forward to today in fragments. Only in the evolution of government and military tactics and in the development of the arts was the originating talent of the later conquerors particularly manifest. So it was this government and military tactics of the Assyrians that set them apart from the ones they conquered, the Sumerians. Through the greater part of their history, the Sumerians lived in a loose confederation of city-states. We can see that loose confederation of the colonies. as a similarity or similitude. United only for military purposes, and isn't that the idea of what the federal government was supposed to do to help repel invasions? See how we just kind of reach into the back and we take old garments and we give them new purposes. At the head of each was a patesi, P-A-T-E-S-I, who combined the functions of a chief priest, commander of the army, and superintendent of the irrigation systems, or you could say public works administrator. Interesting, eh? Each of these confederations of city-states had their chief priest, the commander of the army or the militia, you might say, and the director of public works. That would be your church, your police department, and your public works department. We're looking at these city-states, and we have city counties. We have 3,066 counties in the United States of America, of which 33 are city, I should say county, are city counties, county cities. Anyway, so much similar. Not until the time of Deng Yi, about 2000 BC, however, were all of the Sumerian people united under a single authority of the same nationality as themselves. And we just drop down a little bit further. The land in the Sumerian civilization, the land was never the exclusive property of the king, either in theory or in practice. Neither was trade or industry a monopoly of the government. You can see how things have changed now, even in England. In England, at the time that William Blackstone was reading his commentaries on the laws of England, it was continued to be understood that all lands belonged to the crown. Everything was held subject to the king. And in the United States, we have developed much of the similar system through the Torrens system, and by taking ourselves further and further steps away, registering and titling lands, so that now we can all be taxed on lands that we think we own and automobiles that we think we own, but actually someone else higher than that has those ownerships. We'll pick that up on the other side and keep going with it. We're into Sumer, the origins of their civilization. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Okay, we've returned once again here, so let's jump back into this again and look at some of the similarities between what was happening back so long ago and what is happening today. On the other hand, again, the masses of the people had little they could call their own. Many of them were serfs, but even those who were technically free were a little better off, forced as they were to pay high rents. And whether you're paying rent to a landowner or whether you are paying rent in the form of property taxes, we can see a similitude there, and to labor on the public works. And as we can see the Obama or Barry the Usurper's administration roll out, we're going to see a lot more people now that we have so many unemployed laboring on public works, even if that's just changing the light bulbs in all the federal buildings. Slavery, in the strict sense of the word, was not an important institution. Most of those referred to as slaves were really serfs who had mortgaged their persons for debt. Have you mortgaged your person for debt? Are you a serf? They do not appear to have been an especially degraded class. They could own property, they could work for wages when their master did not need them, and they could even marry free women. Doubtless, the great majority of them were of Sumerian nationality, a fact which helps to explain their rather liberal treatment. Agriculture was the chief economic pursuit of most of the citizens, and the Sumerians were excellent farmers. By virtue of their knowledge of irrigation, they produced amazing crops of cereal grains and subtropical fruits. Since most of the land was divided into large estates held by the rulers, we can see that with agribusiness, ConAgra, Monsanto and the others, the priests, and the army officers. I'll say it again, most of the land was divided into large estates held by the rulers, the priests, and the army officers. The average rural citizen was either a tenant farmer or a serf. Commerce was the second most important source of the nation's wealth. A flourishing trade was established with all of the surrounding countries, revolving around the exchange of metals and timber from the north and west for the agricultural products and the manufactured goods from the lower valley. So they're just a flip-flop, if you will, north and south here, with the United States and the colonies and our westward expansion, much the same here. We had the wealth in land, and we had the capital seeking outlets in industry. Very, very similar here. And then, of course, all of our timber was to the west, largely. Go west, young man. There's lots of timber out there and lots of minerals as wealth as well. Continuing down a little bit, nearly all of the familiar adjuncts of business were highly developed. Bills, receipts, notes, and letters of credit were regularly used. Custom required that deals should be confirmed by written agreements and signed by witnesses. Remember, we started out here identifying this people, these peoples, as being highly legalistic, as opposed to spiritual and forward-looking. Continuing down a little bit further, in all major transactions, bars or ingots of gold and silver served as money. We're talking about thousands of years ago. Bars or ingots of gold and silver served as money, the standard unit of exchange being the silver shekel, approximately equal in weight to a modern 50-cent piece with a purchasing power, however, that was much greater. You see the degradation of the coinage in this country, the most distinctive achievement of the Sumerians was their system of law. It was the product of a gradual evolution out of local usage, but it was finally incorporated into a comprehensive code by Dungi after the middle of the third millennium. Only a few fragments of this law have survived in their original form, but the famous Code of Hammurabi, the Babylonian king, is now recognized to have been nothing more than a revision of the Code of Dungi. Ultimately, this code became the basis of the laws of nearly all of the Semites, Babylonians, Assyrians, Chaldeans, and Hebrews. So it's an important document, it's an important reference in all of this. The following may be required as the essential features of the Sumerian law. One, the Lex Talonis, or Talionis, Lex Talon, or the law of retaliation in kind. From this we get an eye for an eye, or a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, etc. Two, semi-private administration of justice. It was incumbent upon the victim himself or his family to bring the offender to justice. We serve our court, you know, we serve, you know, that we have something very similar to that today. Hire a lawyer. So, the court served principally as an umpire in the disputes between the plaintiff and the defendant, not as an agency of the state to maintain public security, although constables attached to the court might assist in the execution of the sentence. Careful choice of words there. And three, inequality before the law. Notice, inequality before the law. The code divided the population into three classes, patricians or aristocrats, burghers or commoners, and serfs and slaves. So as they say, you know, the poor will always be with you, but the rich are always with you, and we have had a middle class for a very long time. But they were the divided population, three classes. Penalties were graded according to the rank of the victim, but also in some cases according to the rank of the offender. The killing or maiming of a patrician was a much more serious offense than a similar crime committed against a burgher or a slave. On the other hand, when a patrician was the offender, he was punished more severely than a man of inferior status would be for the same crime. And the origin of this curious rule was probably to be found in the considerations of military discipline, since the patricians were army officers and therefore the chief defenders of the state. They could not be permitted to give vent to their passions or to indulge in riotous conduct. You could just imagine if we had that strategy of inequality in the law today, where those that are holding high offices and using wielding their power for their own ill intent, that they would be found, you know, they would be treated much more harshly by the law than the serf would be. Of course, we don't have that in this system any longer. We haven't seen that in a long time. But the idea of a trial by a jury of your peers, by reading various texts, Salmond on jurisprudence, and reading the William Blackstone's and the writings of Sir Edward Coke, I've seen this several places, where a trial by a jury of your peers was basically a get-out-of-jail-free card for the peerage. We think that a jury of our peers means that a carpenter would be tried by a bunch of carpenters. But it's not that way. The peers were the peerage. They were the upper echelon, the aristocrat. And they basically got an opportunity to be tried by their fellows. And most likely, it was a get-out-of-jail-free card. Here you go, the fourth part. Number four, inadequate distinction between accidental and intentional homicides. A person responsible for killing another accidentally did not escape penalty as he would under modern law, but had to pay a fine to the family of the victim, apparently on the theory that the children were the property of their fathers and wives the property of their husbands. Quite as much as their law, the religion of the Sumerians illuminates their social attitudes and the character of their culture. They did not succeed in developing a very exalted religion, yet it occupied an important part in their lives. To begin with, it was polytheistic and anthropomorphic. In other words, you're giving human characteristics to your deities. Anthropomorphic and polytheistic, lots of them. They believed in a number of gods and goddesses, each a distinct personality with human attributes. Shamash, or Shamash, the sun god, Enlil, the lord of the rain and the wind, and Ishtar, the goddess of the female principle and nature, were only a few of them. So here we have Shamash, Enlil, and Ishtar. We'll pick it up on the other side. Plot thickens here. Be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so as we see here, and once again, those call-in numbers are 866-841-1065 and 512-904-8014. Your calls are welcome. But as we've seen here, we're picking up now naming. And this is one of the things that I find fascinating in research, is that when you start to think about polytheism and this-theism and this-ism, it's helpful to keep track. I have different files that I've built over the years. I think I have all of the names that have ever been recorded of all of the archangels, and here we're starting to get a list or start to develop a list, and we can track out that Shamash, I think that sounds very much like Dr. Watt's dog's name, Shamash, Enlil, and Ishtar, that these are right out of the Sumerian litany of polytheism. But continuing here, we see that although the Sumerians had a special deity of the plague in the person of the god Nergal. So here we are, folks. We're in the middle of a swine flu plague. I guess we're now going to all start raising up our offerings, our burnt offerings to Nergal, N-E-R-G-A-L. You want that? There you go. The special deity of the plague in the person of the god Nergal, N-E-R-G-A-L. Their religion, however, was really monistic in the sense that they regarded all of their deities as capable of both good and evil. And so as we continue this little study, we're going to find a new shift that comes in, especially when we get around to the Mithraism and Manichaeism, where we go from this monistic idea where a god could not only bless you, but he could turn around and smite you, all the way up to the point where we have the contrast between the good God and the nasty Satan. And we'll find all of that here in the next couple of days as we go through this broadcast and into this text a little bit deeper. But Shamash here, for example, as the God of the sun, gave warmth and light for the benefit of man, but he also might send his burning rays to bake the soil and to wither the tender plants before they had time to yield their fruits. Religious dualism, our author writes here, involving a belief in entirely separate divinities of good and evil, did not appear in Mesopotamia civilization until much later. All of these little things help us to understand more about where we are at today and how we relate to the world. Are you a monist or are you dualist? How do you relate to these various and sundries? What is your belief system? What are your beliefs built upon? Do you understand them? These are some of the places that I've gone in my mind over the years, and it's been a worthwhile journey, but it's been a very frustrating journey because, as I've said over and over again, there were certain points along the journey where I just had to stop, regroup, reconnoiter, chart a different path, and start throwing away a bunch of the baggage that I was carrying along with me into the future. Continuing here, the Sumerian religion was a religion for this world exclusively. It offered no hope for a life to come. The afterlife was a mere temporary existence in a dreary, shadowy place, which later came to be called Sheol. Sheol. Here the ghosts of the dead lingered for a time, perhaps a generation or so, and then disappeared. No one could look forward to a resurrection in another world and a joyous eternal existence as a recompense for the evils of this life. The victory of the grave was complete. In accordance with these beliefs, the Sumerians bestowed no particular care upon the bodies of their dead. No mummification was practiced, and no elaborate tombs were built. Corpses were commonly interred beneath the floor of the house without a coffin and with very few articles for the use of the ghost. And if you go over to the various and sundry cathedrals and shrines in England, you'll find that practice for the kings as well, where they just bury them under the floor so that nobody can mess with their bones, obviously, but they just bury them under the floor. Maybe it'll give you a little bit of an insight as to what religions they follow, how their belief systems run. Continuing along here, as we have seen, the gods were not spiritual beings, but creatures cast in the human mold, with most of the weaknesses and passions of mortal men. Once again, this goes back to the ignorance and the arrogance of man. To suppose that out of the all of creation that we somehow or another special. Boy, I don't like special. Special really bothers me. But this idea that we're somehow special and that the creator of the universe would be watching out for us individually, that one for me has always been a lofty leap. Nor were the purposes of religion any more spiritual. It provided no blessings in the form of solace, uplift of the soul, or oneness with God. If it benefited man at all, it only did so in the form of a material gain, abundant harvest, and prosperity in business. My, oh my, oh my. Walk into the local Baptist church lately? Walk through the parking lot of a Baptist church lately here? The Southern Baptist Convention? Abundant harvest, prosperity in business, material gain. Similarly, the doctrines and forms of worship were almost devoid of ethical significance. The religion did not prescribe or enforce standards of morality. And we get into this idea of the pursuit of happiness as laid out by Sir Francis Hutcheson in Scotland so long ago, about the time of the founding of this country. We start to see them regaining their idea that this not only played an important part, that it played a critical part in people, in the development of states and nations, if you will. Dropping down a bit further here, the true nature of the Sumerian religion is revealed in the famous creation and flood epics, which provided the framework for the much later Hebrew stories in the Old Testament. Can't get much more plain than that now, can you? Of course, we've got to be careful when we read these kind of texts. We do need to be very careful because there was a humanist move, if you will. The humanist movement really started with Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon and Calvin and Zwingli and all those guys. That largely, that was the beginning of humanism. They call that the Protestant religion. The Enlightenment came along in that area as well. So many of the Protestant preachers out there that rail and rank against humanists all the time, secular humanism, fail to understand their own roots. But we need to be careful also when we read this information, because this is a college textbook. It was written in the 60s, even though it had earlier editions. And so there's a little bit of leaven sewn in here. Part of this heavy emphasis on the similarities in these religions and the foundings of these religions also works to weaken one's faith in Christianity. And if Christianity is what's floating your boat, stick with it. As we continue to study, and as you continue to study, and as you go into comparative religions, you'll realize what the purpose of religion is. It's not so much the belief system, it's the fact that you actually have a belief. And it's the kind of a society that comes out of that commonly held belief system. It really, in technically, makes little difference, and we can see that historically, what you believe. It's just so long as everybody that lives in the same region of the earth believe the same thing. Then your society seems to be harmonious, and everybody gets along. But we'll continue along here. Again, similarly, the doctrines and forms of worship are almost devoid of ethical significance. The religion did not prescribe or enforce standards of morality. The true nature of the Sumerian religion is revealed in the famous creation and flood epics, which provided the framework for the much later Hebrew stories in the Old Testament. The creation epic and related the magic triumph of the god Marduk over the jealous and cowardly gods who had created him. The formation of the world out of the body of one of his slain rivals. And finally, in order that the gods might be fed, the making of man out of clay and dragon's blood. The making of man out of clay and dragon's blood. Adam, made out of clay. You see how much similitude there is. The whole account was crude and revolting, with nothing in it to appeal to a spiritual or moral sense. Almost as barbarous was the Sumerian version of the flood. Grown jealous of man, the gods decided to destroy the whole race of mortals by drowning. One of their number, however, betrayed the secret to a favorite inhabitant of the earth, instructing him to build an ark for the salvation of himself and of his kind. The flood raged for 7 days until the whole earth was covered with water. Even the gods crouched like a dog on the wall, quote unquote, there. Finally, the tumult was stilled and the waters subsided. The favored man and his brothers came forth from the ark and offered a grateful sacrifice. Hungry from their long deprivation of food, the gods, quote unquote, scented the sweet savor and gathered like flies above the sacrifice, close quote, and decided never again to be so foolish as to risk the destruction of man. You see, so the gods depended upon the offerings of the people. All of this is part of their Sumerian religion. In the field of intellectual endeavor, the Sumerians achieved no great distinction. They did, however, produce a system of writing. We'll pick it up on the other side and go into cuneiform writing.
Ho,
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. And the purpose of all of this, of course, again, is to get a better understanding of what this idea of anarch is and how one would go about achieving the goal or the intent of the phrase to anarch, to be without ruler, without leader, without priest, without king, against the various, not having the oligarchs or the archists, if you will. Very important consideration, particularly right now when, like I say, we've got so many people talking about, you know, getting rid of government. If we understand why we have these various and sundries. But as we see here in the beginning, even so many thousands of years ago, much of what has constituted the faith of people or their belief systems have been, as one of our chatters accurately indicated in the chat room. Of course, the chat room is a great place to be, folks. Lots of intelligent convo happening in there. But the idea that so much of this has been given to the masses by others, it's coming down really in a way for on high. And later in this, perhaps tomorrow we'll get to that. Didn't quite get to the Hochschule for Politik today, but we will. Whatever day it comes, it'll come. This broadcast goes wherever it goes during the day. But if we can wrap our minds around this concept that there have been people who have gone into this process of promoting or bringing forward the idea of revealed knowledge, And there is a lot of to that. Some people, you know, are so busy, I like to say that they've got their head bent down, their back is bent, their elbows are pumping, and they're on the end of the handle of a hoe all the time. And I know that even in my past, you know, I've been just so busy, you know, either working in my little shop or working at a job or working on construction projects and stuff like that, or technical work or skill work or professional work, and all varieties of kind of worn a lot of different hats. You get so busy and so wrapped up in what you're doing, you don't have time for thinking about other things. But there have always been those, it seems, who have had that time, who have taken that time. And as even Aristotle and the others, Plato and before him, Socrates, all of those thinkers there, they all looked at having a certain luxury or a certain leisure as being the foundation of having the time to contemplate on higher things. And as we have looked at and studied in history, it's also the rulers and the priest class have that leisure because they were able to convince others that they had a secret that was revealed to them. And as I say, it's like the great sandstone of life. We crawl up and we carve out a little niche in our life when we have this secret. We have a little mystery. And then we wall ourselves in behind special language or techniques or practices. And then we hang out our little shingle and say, XYZ Corner Church. And then the people in the area come and listen. And they bring their offerings because their gods are always hungry. And the specialists and the mystery keepers are always hungry and they need to be fed. And so they ask for money all the time, and then you give them money, and then they have more leisure and you have less. They have more money, you have less. And because the more followers they get, the more they have, so on and so forth. It just builds from there. This is a repeating process for thousands and thousands of years. Anyhow, long stories and short stories. There were certain other things that set aside the Sumerians as individuals. Let's look at those, the intellectual achievements. Because again, these belief systems and the ways of life have a way of translating themselves into material action. It goes beyond our thoughts into our actions and the development of various property, whether that's intellectual property or whether that's physical or material or landed property, etc. But in the field of intellectual endeavor, the Sumerians achieved no great distinction. They did, however, produce a system of writing which was destined to be used for 1,000 years after the downfall of their nation. This was the celebrated cuneiform writing, consisting of wedge-shaped characters imprinted on clay tablets with a square-tipped reed. They also came to have little rollers that they would roll across if there was something that they stated repeatedly, like an oath or an affirmation or something. They would just carve it onto a roller, and then they would roll the roller across the little clay, and they wouldn't have to sit there and form each letter. Although at first a pictograph system, it was gradually transformed into an aggregate of syllabic and phonetic signs, some 350 in number. Now that's walling yourself in with specialized knowledge, folks. That's carving a niche out for yourself if you could remember all of those 350 little symbols. You have only so many, 27 in our language, right? Even numbers like that sometimes are hard to recall instantly. They discovered the process of multiplication and division, and even the extraction of square and cube roots. Now just wrap your mind around this concept of developing the process of multiplication and division. I could ask you, do you believe in addition and subtraction? Do you believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4, and 4 is 8, and 16, and 32, and 64, and 128, and 256, and 1012, and so on, 2048? If you do, do you believe in subtraction the same way, going into the minus territories? If you can wrap your mind around multiplication, then can you accept division? Well, if you can, now we're off into this new mystery. Because what we do is we go from what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can sense with our five senses into the infinite. We start to go into infinity, the Mobius flip or strip, the figure eight, infinity. Now we start getting into religions, and you can see how these mysteries are built, even in the simplest of format. So anyway, they even did the extraction of the square roots and cube roots. And that's a bit of math. There are systems of numeration and of weights and measures were duodecimal, with the number 60 as the most common unit. They invented the water clock and the lunar calendar, the latter an inaccurate division of the year into months based upon cycles of the moon. And so here's more religion involved. Moon worship. In order to bring it into harmony with the solar year, an extra month had to be added from time to time. That's called intercalation. They intercalated an extra month to get back onto the sun clock, if you will, the sun calendar. Astronomy was little more than astrology, and medicine was a curious compound of herbalism and magic. We talked too much about herbs today, but understanding that herbs are basically most of what medicine is, we can do it without the magic, but we certainly want to look at the herbs one more time. The repertory of the physician consisted primarily of charms to exorcise the evil spirits, which were believed to be the causes of disease. The germ theory of disease is of recent origin. As artists, the Sumerians excelled in metalwork, gem carving, and sculpture. They produced some remarkable specimens of naturalistic art in their weapons, vessels, jewelry, and human and animal representations, which revealed alike a technical skill and a gift of imagination. You know, some would have us think that we just fell off the back of a truck someplace, climbed out of a spaceship, and we knew all the things that we knew, and we forgot it all. The other side of the coin is that we're created with very little knowledge, and we've developed all of this knowledge. We found out these mysteries. It's like the blessing of actually living on this planet in the format that we're here. We're going to hear a lot about darkness, and we'll talk about that light and darkness thing when we get there. Evidently, religious conventions had not yet imposed any paralyzing influence. That's a key phrase, this analysis of paralysis. It does great damage to a people, these various paralyzing influences. Consequently, the artist was still free to follow his own impulses. And here is there's a photograph. It's fragments of jewelry found at Ur in two graves of ladies in waiting to the queens. The materials used are gold, carnelian, and lapis lazuli, dating from 3500 to 2800 BC. It is the oldest jewelry in the world. The oldest pieces of jewelry ever found so far. Interesting. Evidently, again, the religious customs or conventions had not yet imposed any paralyzing influence. Well, hey, we're out of time. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. Stay with us. We'll be back again. Stay in tune. Josh Reeves, straight ahead.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.